Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Let us sing together Psalm 23, Psalm 23. Let us pray. O God, who brought us to birth, you are always ready to hear us when we pray. Even as sorrow pierces our hearts at the death of Cor Matheson, our brother, we grope for words to express our pain. You know all our needs before we ask, and are ready to supply them out of the riches of your grace in Jesus Christ. Show us now that grace, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light and hope of eternity. Speak to us once more that solemn message of life and death. Help us to live as those prepared to die. And when our days are ended, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. At this time, there are some words from the family that they would like to give in remembrance of Cor. Yeah, use this mic here.
You'll have to bear with me. I'm not a great speaker. I don't speak in front of people well. Thank you all for coming. We, as a family, appreciate it. Cornelius Cor Leander Matheson was born November 26, 1929, in New Lecklenburg, Holland, and was called home to be with his Lord and Savior May 27, 2022. Dad is survived by three children, John, Robert, and Angela. Cor was loved and loved by his four grandchildren and his four great-grandchildren. He will also be remembered by his remaining siblings and their families. Dad was the third of seven children. He grew up during the war, and as a young man worked as a crewmate on inland tugboats. In winter, Dad enjoyed skating and learning to skate on the canals in Holland. When he was 25, he married Bertha Ouderkirk. Right after the wedding, they moved to Australia, where they remained until their three children were born. While in Australia, he was a tool and die maker. In Australia, Dad loved swimming, which didn't change after moving to Canada as long as the water was warm. In 1967, Dad moved us to Canada, which began as a two-week crossing by ship to Los Angeles, then by bus to Huntington, and finally by car to Abbotsford, B.C. Dad has always been impulsive, even camping, which is supposed to be relaxing. Remember this one time. We were planning on going camping, but it was raining in Abbotsford, so we drove to Penticton. But it was raining there too, so Dad turned us around and went back to Abbotsford. When we arrived back in Abbotsford, it was still raining, so once again we turned around and headed back to Penticton. In Abbotsford, Dad worked as a dairy equipment and sales, which, while always had wanted to have a farm, this fueled his passion. This passion led him to buying a dairy farm in Armstrong, B.C., in 1974. Dad always wanted a farm, and he was happy as a pig in mud when he got one. And what made him even happier was that his family helped him run the farm. Dad had a love for all animals, but had a special place in his heart for dogs and always had them around. At one point, we had five dogs on the farm. He retired from farming in 1995, but this didn't mean he slowed down at all. After retirement, it seemed that Dad was even busier, always on the go. After selling the farm, they moved to another property, and he turned that unintended property into a sprawling park-like oasis. Once he completed that project, he moved on to the next home in Vernon, where he and Mom lived in four different places before finally settling down into their last home. Dad seemed to have restless feet, didn't like to be in one place for too long. Many times, Dad and Mom would go for dinner, and as soon as they were done, Dad would say, "Time to go." Mom would say, pull them back down and say, "Sit down, take it easy for a little bit." Along with restless feet, Dad could never make up on his mind on what vehicle to drive. It seemed that almost every time we saw him there for a while, he always had a different car. I'm sure the people at church always wondered who the new people were until Dad and Mom would get out. Dad's love of books was almost out of control. He was always buying and ordering a good book or a Bible to study. His eldest daughter, granddaughter, Julie, remembers Grandpa teaching her how to milk cows with the machine, wiping down and putting on machines on. She also remembers Grandpa eating buttered bread with sugar on it, being excited to share this with him because, well, sugar. She found she didn't care for it too much, not something she liked. Caleb, his only grandson, fondest memories of Grandpa riding in the truck with him on the farm picking up hay. He spent a lot of hours with Grandpa in the truck. His youngest granddaughter, Savannah, remembers Grandpa taking her for walks and introducing her to art, instilling his love of painting in her. Church has always been a big part of Dad's life. He was involved in the Calvinist Cadet Corps to help educate young people about the Lord. Later in life, he became an elder in the church. Cor would fellowship with me when I would visit him. There was one time when we got lost in conversation about the Lord, and he happened to look at the time. He jumped up and says, "Penny, it's way after 9 o'clock. It's past my bedtime." Dad was 92 when he was called home. He was a little crooked, hurting a little more, couldn't walk like he used to. Now Dad is home. No more moving to find the perfect home. Dad and Mom are exploring the glories of their new land together, visiting with friends and family members missed here, most of all, to meet Jesus, the one he loved and served. Dad wasn't perfect, but his love for his kids was strong and always wanted the best for them. He would pray God's will upon their life and never went one day without having prayers for his family. It was his wish that all of his children, his family, from the oldest to the youngest, would come to know the Lord so that they would all be together one day. "Dad, we love you, we miss you, but are so happy that you and Mom are back together." Thank you.
Let's pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of his word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the living word of God. To whom else should we go? For you have the words of eternal life. As we listen to your word, may your spirit write its message on our hearts and feed our souls with its nourishing truth. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to two places, first to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 at verse 31 is where I'll begin reading, and then also Psalm 27. Romans 8 at verse 31. Hear now the word of our God. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then if you would turn over to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we remember our brother Cor Matheson and mourn together at his passing, I thought it helpful to take up two passages that give us such great comfort of our sure hope that is found only in Jesus. It is good for us to remember Cor and the life that he lived on this earth and how God used him mightily in his service. But most of all today, let us look and see the God that so graciously and wondrously saved Cor as he saved all who believe in the Lord Jesus. Romans 8 is an incredible chapter in the Bible and tells us so many wonderful gospel truths. And it ends with such a great crescendo of comfort to all of God's people. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our sin directed at God, our lack of good works towards God, our lack of faithfulness to God, our lack of love for God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even those things. It is quite an amazing thing when you read the ending of Romans 8 to realize that our sin, our treason against the God of all the universe, that it is that very one that we have sinned against is also the one that saved us. When someone wounds us, we don't readily take them back in. Nor do we extol upon them honors far greater than what they had before. But you see, that is the grace and the love that God has given to his people. that though we have broken all of God's commandments, that we have wounded and hurt those who are made in His image, God still, in His love and grace, provides a way of escape, a way of salvation, a way in which we can escape the eternal death that is rightly ours and enjoy the eternal life that Christ provides. And so there is nothing that can separate God's people from His love. And it's very simple how this could be the case. Because Christ paid it all. As the hymn goes, "With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free." This is the simple, beautiful truth of the gospel, and yet one that we wrestle with in some capacity and away all of our lives. After all, how can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? How can it be that there is nothing that I can do that will make myself right before God? That there is not enough good works that I can do in this life to outweigh the bad ones. Because even our best works, as the prophet Isaiah says, are but filthy rags. They're not good enough. We're not righteous enough. We're not holy enough. Christianity is not a proud religion. It's a humble one. Because you see, to believe in Jesus means you know your sin. And you know your need of salvation. That you are completely helpless to save yourself. But as you hold out your hands, like a little child holding out their hands to be lifted up by their parent, as we do that, we know that our Heavenly Father will embrace us and will fill us with every good and perfect gift. Brothers and sisters, we are assured that Cor Matheson is in heaven, not because of anything that he has done, not because he was a member of this church, not because he was, you know, such a loving husband and father and grandfather. He's in heaven because God chose him. And Christ died for him. He is in heaven because of what Christ has done. And we are all given assurance and comfort that very salvation is ours if we believe in Jesus. For as Paul says earlier in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father and Jesus have sent to us to apply salvation to us. And if Christ is for us, who can be against us? If Christ has saved us, who can pluck us from His hands? If Christ has called us to be one of His sheep, who can steal us away? If our God chose us in eternity past, knowing all our days, all that we would do, if He chose to love us, what would make Him stop loving us? If He knew all of that. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Not our sin. And not even death. We can all be thankful and praise our triune God that Cor knew who his Redeemer was and is, and that he lives forever with all the saints to reign with Christ. That is what I pray for all of you. I pray that you would also pray for one another, that we would all have that wondrous grace of knowing what our only comfort in life and in death is. The Matheson family, Cor's friends and church family, you have had a faithful witness of God and his gospel in the life of this man. And there will come a day when we will all have to give an account for how we receive that testimony. This is a reminder that we will all have to die unless Christ comes again in our lifetime. There are only two ways that you will meet the Lord. You will either meet him clothed in the white robes of Christ's righteousness, or you will meet him in your own filthy rags. How will you meet him? For those of us that place our faith in Jesus, just as Cor did, we have a firm and sure hope that we shall enter into that eternal rest that Christ has prepared for us. As we all know, Cor suffered a lot in his life, especially at the end. He was quite weak and frail. And yet, when I saw him in church, he was never sad to be here. He was always happy that he could be in church. That tells me everything I need to know about what's going on in his heart. That the main things in his life were indeed the main things. There's a lot of reasons as we think about, well, why did Cor have to suffer so much at the end? There's a lot of reasons for why God gives us suffering in our lives. We don't have time to deal with all of that now. But the simple truth is that we don't always know why God has placed suffering in our path. We know that it will always draw us closer to him, but we don't always know the details of why. But one passage that has always spoken to me is Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes the Lord's answer to our question of why is wait. We don't often like that answer. We sometimes hate that answer. But the Lord tells us in this passage that it is the courageous and strong thing to do to wait on the Lord. And it is he who will strengthen us to wait on him. And when we look back over Cor's life, what we see is the Lord's faithfulness to him. The Lord gave him the strength to wait. And as we heard, he didn't have a lot of patience for a lot of the menial things in life, what car to have or home to live in or what place to take vacation. But in the main thing, he had patience. In the main thing, he waited on the Lord. He was patient in waiting on the Lord to take him home. The Lord never let him go. The Lord gave him the strength of heart to say, I will wait on the Lord despite all of his suffering. And we can courageously wait for the Lord because we know that one day we will see the beauty of the Lord in full view. That is our sure hope. The Lord gave Kor, and he gives us the strength to patiently endure all hardship because of the hope that is set before us. We see this in his beautiful promise of sure hope that is given to us in verses 1 and 4 of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This is all of our hope, that the Lord is my light and my salvation. And because of that, I desire and will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I will see the beauty of the Lord. I ask us today, do you want to see the beauty of the Lord? Do you want to see the Lord Jesus Christ upon his throne, arrayed in all of his glory? Do you want to see him as he is? The God who is in control of all things, who is all powerful, and yet receives you with hands that are pierced. Pierced for you. Do you want to run to him, throw yourself down at his feet, and glorify him? Does your heart yearn for him? Do you enjoy the blessed privilege of knowing and having Christ now by the Holy Spirit, but do you hunger for more of him, to see him? This was David's one desire, to see the glory of the Lord. Do you say with the Apostle Paul, yes, to live is Christ, but to die is gain? Kor's time of waiting for deliverance from all his suffering here on this earth is over. That's something to praise the Lord for. He is in the heavenly house of the Lord and will be there all the days of eternity. He is now beholding the beauty of the Lord. Who wouldn't want to join him? May it be all of our hope and all our heart's desire to see our Savior. Amen. Let's sing together hymn 66, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Hymn 66.
There is no
At this time, if you would stand, we have the privilege to confess together what is our only comfort in life and death with the words of the of question answer one of the Heidelberg Catechism. So if you please rise at this time and we'll say together question answer one. I'll ask the question, you give the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. You may be seated. Let's pray. God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, to bring life and immortality into the world. We give you thanks but that by his death, he destroyed the grip of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of God to all believers. Make us confident that because he lives, we shall also live. Deepen our conviction that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from your love. Immerse us now in that love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Following the benediction, the family and I will go to the graveside, but the rest of you can stay behind for refreshments, but let the family exit first, please. Please stand for the Lord's blessing. Receive now the blessing of the Lord, which we can only receive because of the grace that is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.